What is the what's it called? Which number?
1337.
There's one behind you and there's one right over there.
What is that?
For reference timer.
Oh, timer.
1337.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
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 Not that we just announced. Yeah, the announcements are that there are no text reading today, so it's Advaita Acharya's appearance, so you don't have to read the text. Om ajnana timirandhasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshurun militam jena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manobhishtam sthapitam jena bhutale swayam rupa kada mahyam dadati swapadantikam nama om vishnu padaya krishna preshthaya bhutale shrimate bhakti vedanta swaminiti namine namaste saraswate deve gauravani pracharine nirvishesha shunyavadi paschatyadeshadharine jaya shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda shri advaita gadadhara shrivasadi gaurabhakta vrinda hare krishna 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 hare 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 rama 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 hare hare. First of all, I offer millions and millions of prostrated obeisances at the lotus feet of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, by whose causeless mercy and diligent endeavor, this very beautiful, wonderful names, forms, qualities and pastimes of Sri Shachinandan Gaura Hari, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu have been spread far and wide in this dark age of Kali Yuga. I bow down repeatedly at the lotus feet of all the exalted Vaishnavas in our Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Rupanuga line, who from one generation to another have been serving Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and carrying down this baton of prestigious golden service unto the lotus feet of the Panchatattva. Last but not the least, I offer my prostrated obeisances to all the Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis who have assembled this morning to kindly bless me by their auspicious presence. Vanchakal. Hare Krishna. So there was something that I mentioned last evening, which I would like to mention again, and mention again and again, as many times as I can. And that is offering my gratitude to all the exalted senior disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Last night at a home program at Sakshi Gopal Prabhu's place, I was overwhelmed and I was really mixed with two emotions, as I mentioned last evening. The first emotion was that of awe and reverence. How I feel being swept by this mood of awe and reverence, sitting in the presence of so many exalted Prabhupada disciples and so many exalted senior Vaishnavas who have lived decades after decades serving this community. And materially and spiritually, emotionally and devotionally, I am like a small ant in the presence of all the Vaishnavas. I have spent only 27 years in this body, which is half the number of years all of you have spent in Krishna consciousness. So there is nothing that I can add. There's no value I can add in your life. There's nothing that I can speak which in any way will be of any value. Because whatever I speak will be theoretical. Whatever I speak will be something that I have just read. But whatever you have lived is practical. It's of the heart. You've lived decades after decades offering your heart to Srila Prabhupada. So there is nothing absolutely that I can offer. But the second mood that comes to my mind actually comes to my rescue. And what is that? I was mentioning last evening how when I grew up in our school, we had a very specific practice. On Teacher's Day, on the 5th of September, kids of different class, they were inspired to come ahead and give a talk as a teacher that day. And we used to be so scared. We used to be nervous and stressed out, literally shivering close to the microphone. And the teachers would be sitting in the assembly trying to signal to us, calm down, don't worry. Even if you make mistakes, even if you crawl your way, even if you embarrass yourself, don't worry, your well-wishing superiors as teachers are present here. So even if you make mistakes, we will embrace you and tell you you did a good job. So I knew that practice is actually getting fructified here. I was practicing in school only to come and serve all of you this morning. I'm like a student, and all of you are my teachers. And today is Teacher's Day for me. So I will definitely crawl my way, embarrassing myself, making so many mistakes, speaking things which are utterly rubbish because of my conditioning. But please forgive me. Please protect me. My only good qualification is that I am under the umbrella, I am under the auspices of Srila Prabhupada. And whatever I'm attempting to speak comes from Srila Prabhupada's books. That's all. So please kindly bless me so that the right words come at the right time in the right spirit, glorifying Sri Advaita Acharya. And for all the mistakes that I make, just have a laugh. Just have a laugh. To err is human, but to forgive is divine. So as I offer my obeisances, I want to stop this service for this morning on the glorification of Sri Advaita Acharya. When I come here, I feel as if I'm in Vrindavan with Shri Gaur Nithai, Krishna Balaram and Radhesham. So therefore, I made a plan. Today, while describing and glorifying Advaita Acharya, I want to start with someone whom I really love on the altar, and that is Balaram. So I would like to get to the pages of teachings of Lord Chaitanya, a very beautiful, wonderful book of Srila Prabhupada, where Srila Prabhupada explains Advaita Acharya in line of Balaram. So I would like to start with that. Srila Prabhupada explains that Krishna in Vrindavan is called as Swayam Roop. Swayam Roop means the original form. We know Krishna is the Supreme Lord. He is the origin of all creations. He is the origin of all creators. He is the Lord of all lords. He is the source of all sources. He is the supreme cause for everything. But it's described, he in his fullest feature, in full opulence and full sweetness, is found in the groves of Vrindavan. So that Krishna is called as Swayam Roop, the original manifestation. However, Srila Prabhupada explains that Sri Krishna has two kinds of primary expansions. And those expansions are called as Prabhav Prakash and Vaibhav Prakash. This is also explained in the Chaitanya Charitamrita very beautifully by Srila Prabhupada. So what is Prabhav Prakash? Prabhav Prakash is that expansion of Krishna in Vrindavan where the mood is the same, the form is the same, the expansion is the same, the complexion is the same. Well, then what's the difference? The example Prabhupada gives is that Krishna manifesting in multifarious forms to dance with the gopis of Vrindavan in the Rasa Leela. Every Krishna looks the same. He has two hands and he has a complexion that of a bluish black rain-filled monsoon cloud. He has a yellow dhoti which is like the fresh lightning in the sky. He has a peacock feather which is like the rainbow in the sky. And he has flowers in the flower garland moving back and forth like groups of birds flying in that sky. And the most interesting thing, he has a flute tuck on his waist which is competing with the gopis of Vrindavan. Because it's interesting, the gopas, they get all day with Krishna. From sunrise to sunset, it's the time with the gopas. And the gopis get all night with Krishna from sunset to sunrise. So it's a competition. The gopas love the sun and hate the moon. Because as soon as it's moonrise, it's time for them to go home. And the gopis love the moon and hate the sun. So it's interesting. When the sun is rising, the gopis are cursing the sun. And the gopas are blessing the sun. And when the moon is rising, the gopis are blessing the moon. And the gopas are cursing the moon. Because it's the time that they have with Krishna. And it's interesting, this is why the gopas, they go to Chandra Sarovar in Vrindavan and they perform puja to moon, Chandradev. What is the puja for? Oh Chandradev, oh moon god, we are offering our worship to you so that you can appear 1 minute late. Because if you appear 1 minute late, we get an extra minute with the son of Vrindavan, the son of Nanda and Yashoda, Sri Krishna. Now the gopis are getting some transcendental competition. So headed by Srimati Radharani, they go to Surya Kund to bribe the sun god. Can you rise a minute later? So the gopas are bribing the moon and the gopis are bribing the sun. So they get 12 hours each. But there's one very wonderful servant of Sri Hari who gets all 24 hours during the day and during the night, and that is the flute. So therefore, the flute is stuck on the waist, and whether it's with the gopas or with the gopis, whether it's with the cows or with Mother Yashoda, the flute is always there. And in Anand Vrindavan Champu, Kavi Karanapur describes, when Krishna comes from all day performance of his pastimes at Govardhan, he returns home. Mother Yashoda looks at his Gopal and says, Gopal, can I have a kiss on my cheek? As a mother, Krishna says, oh, I'm too tired. And Mother Yashoda curses the flute. She says, this flute is snatching in, drinking all the juice from my Krishna's lips. He's so tired that he has no time to kiss his mother. So this flute is an object of ridicule, transcendental ridicule for all the Brijbasis. But he still is on the waist of Krishna embracing him. Please help me. So it's interesting. In Vrindavan, when Krishna performs such sweet pastimes, headed by the gopis of Vrindavan, he expands in the Rasa Leela. And two hands on the flute, very beautifully singing and dancing and playing on the flute, tinkling on his ankle bells. Every form is a two-handed form. Every form is Gopavesh, Venukara, Navakishore, Natavara. The cowherd boy with a flute and a peacock feather. But then what's the difference between the original Krishna and the expansion? Well, the difference is the original dances with Srimati Radharani. And all the expansions dance with the expansions from Srimati Radharani. So how do we know whether it is Swayam Roop, the origin, or whether it is an expansion, Prabhav Prakash? Well, we just see who is he dancing with. If he's dancing with any of the gopis in Vrindavan, oh, that's an expansion. And if he's dancing with Srimati Radharani, who is explosively beautiful on the altar, Oh, then that's the original form. Now, Prabhupada explains this is the form expansion, where the mood, the complexion, the form, everything is same as the original. But then Prabhupada explains the second kind of expansion. He says the second expansion is called as Vaibhav Prakash. And Vaibhav Prakash is that expansion where he still has two hands and two legs. But interestingly, his mood or his complexion may be different. And Prabhupada states the classic example of Vaibhav Prakash is Sri Balaram, who's the expansion of Krishna with two hands and two legs. But the complexion is different. The mood is different. Prabhupada explains, what's the difference in the complexion? Krishna has the complexion of a bluish, black, freshly formed monsoon rain cloud. So much so that Sripad Madhavendra Puri, the spiritual master of Advaita Acharya, he would look at the rain-filled monsoon cloud and he would be shivering in ecstasy, calling out, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And he would fall down to the ground like a rod. And then they had to chant the holy name to revive him and say, that was just a passing rain cloud. And he would get up. I literally saw Krishna. Therefore, Rupa Goswami says, Krishna, what should I call you? Govardhana prasthana vambuvaha kalinda kanya navaneela padmam vrindavanudaratamala shakhi tapatrayasyabhivavam karotu. Rupa Goswami in the Padyavali explains, Krishna, your form is very confusing. When you stand on top of the Govardhan hill, you look like a rain-filled monsoon cloud. And Krishna, when you're swimming in the waters of the Jamuna, you look like a freshly blossomed blue lotus flower. And when you're standing in the forest of Vrindavan with your arms outstretched, you look like a tamal tree. Who are you? Are you a rain-filled monsoon cloud on top of Govardhan? Are you fully bloomed, fully blossomed blue lotus flower in the Jamuna? Or are you a tamal tree in the forest of Vrindavan? Krishna, very honestly, I don't care. These three forms of the rain-filled monsoon cloud, of the blue lotus and the tamal tree, please destroy Adi Daivika, Adi Bhautika, Adhyatmika Klesha in my life. You have three forms? Destroy the three kinds of miseries in my life. So this is Krishna. Prabhupada explains that is the form of Krishna, but the form of Balaram is that of a freshly formed spring cloud who's white. That's the difference in the complexion. But what's the difference in the mood? Prabhupada explains Krishna has the mood which is called as Sevya Abhiman. Krishna has the mood that I am to be served. It's the duty of every living entity to serve me. But it's the mood of Balaram that it's my duty to serve Krishna. So Balaram is in the mood of servant, Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Krishna is in the mood of master, Supreme Personality of Godhead. And how beautifully Balaram serves. Balaram serves in all rasas. Balaram serves as Shantaras. He serves as Krishna's sitting place. He serves as Krishna's shoes. He serves as Krishna's umbrella. He serves as Krishna's ornaments. He serves as Krishna's dhoti and all the garments of Krishna's body. He serves as Krishna's flute. He serves as Krishna's herding stick, a standing stick. He serves as Krishna's servant when Krishna is tired by massaging his lotus feet. He serves as Krishna's friend, cutting jokes with Krishna and making fun of him in public. Krishna goes to Mother Yashoda and says, Balaram is always teasing me. Mother Yashoda says, what does Balaram tease you? Krishna says, oh, actually, Balaram walks around in public announcing that I am not the son of Nanda and Yashoda. And when I get agitated, Balaram gives a formidable reason why. In front of everyone, Balaram asks me, Krishna, I want to ask you a question. Nanda Maharaj is fair in complexion. And Mother Yashoda is fair in complexion. I am fair in complexion. How is it that you're the odd man out? And Krishna smiles and he tells Balaram, well, it just happened. Balaram said, it doesn't happen like that. And Balaram looked at Krishna and he says, I am older than you. I have seen this world a few days more than you. Trust me on experience. It doesn't happen like that. Krishna said, but then what's the reason? Dauji, oh Balaram, what's the transcendental reason? Balaram explains, actually, there's a very confidential reason. The confidential reason is, you're actually not their son. You were being sold in the marketplace and Nanda Maharaj burnt in compassion. He wanted to purchase you and bring you home. But he can tell you this fact. He's the father, now Mother Yashoda is the mother. How can they tell you that you're actually an adopted child? But what to do? I'm your brother, but I'm also your friend. It's my duty to speak the truth. I am Akhand Guru Tattva. Guru always speaks the truth. And Krishna starts crying, runs home to Mother Yashoda and tells Mother Yashoda, this is enough. Why do you send Balaram with me? Mother Yashoda said, actually, Balaram is like the eyelid protecting you, who is like the eyeball. Balaram protects you like the eyelid protects the eyeball. Then Krishna gets angry and tells Mother Yashoda, if Balaram is the eyelid protecting me, I need a protective eyelid who protects me from Balaram. This is too much. I can take this. Mother Yashoda said, it's just a joke. He's also your friend. What's the solution anyway? Krishna said, I have thought of a solution. A perfect solution. And the perfect solution is, I want to get married. Mother Yashoda said, how old are you? Krishna said, 2.5. Mother Yashoda starts laughing. How is that a solution? Krishna, you're 2.5. You getting married, how is that a solution? Krishna starts speaking. Actually, mother, that's a very deep tattva. What is the deep tattva? Krishna explains. I want to get married to a girl who has fair complexion. Mother Yashoda says, how does that solve a problem? Krishna says, next time Balaram tries to mock me in public, I would say, yes, I am dark complexion, but I found a wife who's fair complexion. You're fair complexion, but you didn't even find a girl. So Mother Yashoda said, Acha, you getting married is a solution? Well, if you've proposed a solution, you can as well propose a girl if there is in your mind. If you've thought of someone. Krishna said, well, actually, oh mother, in Vrindavan, the custom is the boy and the girl don't pick each other. It's two families who get married. And I have seen that Nanda Maharaj has close friendship with Vrishabhanu Maharaj. And you, O Yashoda, have close friendship with Mother Kirtida. So according to the custom of Vrindavan, because families get married, I want to propose this idea. Just because you're asking me, O mother, I think Srimati Radharani is a very good choice. However, by the very beautiful, wonderful arrangement of Yoga Maya, this plan was toppled out of the window to keep the Parakiya Ras in Vrindavan going. Parakiya bhave jaha brajate prachar. So this is Balaram serving, not just as a servant, but also as a friend, cutting jokes with Krishna. But at the same time, he serves in Vatsalya Prem, protecting Krishna by holding his hand so that he doesn't eat fruits which are poisonous. So that he doesn't get into a cave and block himself. So that he doesn't jump into a water body and drown himself. Mother Yashoda would tell Balaram, don't keep Krishna out in the sun. He's already born suntanned. And not just this, Balaram also serves as Ananga Manjari, the younger sister of Srimati Radhika, Srimati Radharani. Balaram also serves as Ananta. What does the word Ananta mean? The word Ananta means unlimited. He performs unlimited service. Yet at the same time, if there is some service left, which is Shesha, Shesh in Sanskrit means whatever is left behind. Like in mathematics, in Vedic mathematics, the word Shesha means that which is left behind, the remainder. So he's Ananta, he performs unlimited service, but at the same time, Shesha, if there's some leftover service, he comes and finishes that also. And when living beings in this world go away from Krishna, he appears as Guru Tattva to bring them back. So this is Baladev Prabhu. So I was mentioning how Prabhupada explains Swayam Roop in Vrindavan, Krishna. expands as Prabhav Prakash, like that in the Rasa Leela, same form, same mood, but dancing with the other energies, and Vaibhav Prakash, where the mood is different, the complexion is different, that is Balaram. Now it's interesting, this Balaram in Vrindavan, when he steps out of Vrindavan and goes to Mathura and Dwaraka, he's called as Mool Shankarsha. But at the same time, when he steps into Vaikuntha, he's called as Mahasankarsham. These are technical details. Balaram in Vrindavan expands as Mool Sankarsham in Mathura and Dwaraka. We know Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. So his expansion leaves Vrindavan. Similarly, Balaram, Rohini Nandan never leaves Vrindavan. His expansion leaves Vrindavan. So that expansion which leaves for Mathura and Dwaraka is called as Mool Sankarsham, Prabhupada explains. While that expansion which is found in Vaikuntha is called Mahasankarsham. So Krishna in Vrindavan expanding, first expansion as Balaram, expanding as Mool Sankarsham, expanding as Mahasankarsham, and from that Mahasankarsham, the first expansion is called Mahavishnu. And that Mahavishnu is Karana Udakashai Vishnu, who's breathing in and breathing out. And from his innumerable pores are innumerable universes coming into existence. And he has sweat perspiration drops forming into an ocean that he sleeps on. It's called as the Karana Ocean. So this Mahavishnu, who is ultimately an expansion from Balaram, who is ultimately an expansion from Krishna in Vrindavan, he creates Prakriti, creates this material world. But to glance on this Prakriti, he expands in another form. And that form is called as Advaita Acharya Prabhu Ki. This is how Baladev Prabhu, Balaram is connected to Advaita Acharya. Mahavishnu, he creates this universe. But however, to glance on this universe, he expands as an Upadan Karan. Prabhupada gives this term, Upadan Karan. And very beautiful example that Prabhupada explains. Prabhupada gives this example of building a house. He says to build a house, you need two things. You need a builder and you need things to build up a house like glass, like wood, like concrete, etc. So Prabhupada explains the builder in this case is Mahavishnu. But the ingredients that are created to build the house is Advaita Acharya. So it is Advaita Acharya who enters every atom of this creation. So every ingredient, every circumstance, every favorable, unfavorable situation, in fact, all the complications in reality, everything that we see around is only an expansion, only a manifestation, only a personification of Advaita Acharya. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada comments in this regard. He describes what is true worship of Advaita Acharya. It is not simply offering some words of glorification and some flowers at his lotus feet. Prabhupada Saraswati Thakur explains, seeing situations in life as the mercy of Advaita Acharya, reversals in life with an attitude of gratitude that this is supposed to bring in supreme auspiciousness for me. It could be the most unfavorable thing according to my calculation. But it is actually Advaita Acharya. It is the planning, the auspicious presence of Advaita Acharya. And therefore it is to bring me an inch, a step closer to Krishna. A very classic example that Sripad Ayendra Prabhu in Vrindavan would give. He would give the example of the dog and the bone. He would give this example. What happens when you throw a bone in front of a dog? Yes? What happens when we throw a bone in front of a dog? The dog looks at the bone. And now what happens when you throw a bone in front of a lion? The lion looks not at the bone. Looks at the bone, but very quickly looks at the person throwing the bone. Mahaprasade Govinde. By the way, the class is not done so early. Still half an hour to go. So he would look at the person throwing the bone. Sripad Ayendra Prabhu would explain. So dog consciousness and lion consciousness are differentiated, are classified as follows. Situations in life are like bones. They may be smaller bones, they may be bigger bones, they may be wider bones, they may be whiter bones, they may be blackish bones, they may be brownish bones. They're all situations in life. And if we're too absorbed licking the bone, the situation, he did this to me, she said this to me, she entered the temple and didn't even say Hare Krishna to me. I do so much good for her, but she didn't have the gratitude to look at me and say Hare Krishna. Now I will show her. I will not look at her. I will not greet her Hare Krishna. Well, that's over-analysis of the bone-like situation. But if the person looks at the situation which is like a bone and very quickly looks at the person throwing the bone, which is a Advaita Acharya, then that is not dog consciousness, that is lion consciousness. So to see situations in life and to over-analyze them and see people as the doers of that situation is dog mentality. But to very quickly analyze whether it is favorable or unfavorable, it is ultimately auspicious. This is lion consciousness. This is true worship of Advaita Acharya, explains Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Another classic example. You make a paper mouse with a string attached and you throw it in front of a cat. What do you think the cat does? The cat jumps on the paper mouse. And then you move the string and he runs behind the paper mouse. We try doing that in front of a human. You throw a paper mouse in front of a human with a string. He looks at the mouse and immediately with a frown, he looks at the person doing it. What does that represent? A cat is ready to spend all his time trying to catch the paper mouse, which is like a situation in life. But human consciousness means to see the paper mouse, to see the situation, and very quickly connect the cause behind it, which is the human being doing it. So Advaita Acharya, worshipping Advaita Acharya means to see the circumstantial situations in life which are like paper mice, which are like the bone in the first example, and very quickly to see that the situation may be temporary, but the auspiciousness that it can grant me is permanent. I may break my bone, I may break my finger, I may even lose my life. It is a temporary phase of unfavorable circumstance. But if I take shelter of Advaita Acharya to see him as the doer, then that temporary situation of unfavorable circumstance brings permanent good fortune. Permanently brings me closer to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, this is the worship of Advaita Acharya. So everything in life is only Advaita Acharya. Every wall is Advaita Acharya. Every atom is Advaita Acharya. Every favorable and unfavorable circumstance is Advaita Acharya. So to see reversals in life with an attitude of gratitude that Advaita Acharya is doing this in my life so that I, in the Navadvipa of my consciousness, can bring in the descent of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. This is Advaita Acharya. So today Advaita Acharya's Advaita Saptami is one day on the calendar. Advaita Acharya is one person on the Panchatattva. But true worship of Advaita Acharya is moment to moment, every minute, every hour of our life. Therefore, Narottam Das Thakur says, Daya kara sita pati Advaita gosai Tava kripa bale pae Chaitanya nita. Narottam Das Thakur says, if someone can see Advaita Acharya in this line of thought, very quickly, they will get Chaitanya Nityananda in their heart. This is the secret. Advaita Tattva. Now it's interesting. Advaita Acharya is not just Vishnu in person. He also has the burning compassion of Lord Shiva. Now let's spend some time discussing Shiva. Lord Shiva is such a wonderful personality. Satye daitya kuladinash samaye Simhurvamartyakriti. The Garuda Puran describes in Satya Yuga when Narasingha Dev broke the pillar and appeared in the assembly of the devotees. Oh, what was his appearance like? Satyam vidhatum nijabritya bhashitam vyaptim cha bhuteshu akhileshu chatmanaha adrishtatatyad bhutaru. ரூபமுத்வஹன் ஸ்தம்பே சபாயாம் ந மிருகம் ந மானுஷம். Shukdev Goswami describes, he appeared only to keep the word of Prahlad as truth. And how did he appear? Na mrigam, na manusham. All the animal community, headed by the lions, looked at this incarnation and said, no, 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 he's not a lion. No, he's not a lion. The lions were asked, is he part of your community? The lion said, no, 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 no. He looks like a lion, but he's not. Then the humans were asked, the other portion of the body is like the humans. Is he part of your community? They said, definitely not. Shukdev Goswami said, he appeared, Narasingha Dev, but he was neither man nor animal. And there was no one ready to pacify him. Everyone looked at Brahma, said, Brahma, they nudged him on his belly and said, now you go and pacify him. Brahma said, I cannot. And he tried to hide his face. But it's interesting. If you have one face, you can hide it. Brahma has four heads. He tries to hide and he's always looking. So Brahma tried to hide his face. They said, it's your fault. Brahma said, why is it my fault? Well, you're the one who benedicted Hiranyakashipu out of your causeless compassion. Neither man nor animal, neither day nor night, inside nor outside, nor in the air nor on the floor. Neither hands nor weapons. And the Lord had to actually put in a programming, computer program, an algorithm to work out. Ah, Narasingha avatar. So Brahma, it's your duty to go and pacify. Brahma said, no way. I'm not doing. Then Brahma not Shiva, because Shiva has five heads. He's called Panchanana. And his son, Kartikeya, has six heads. He's called a Shanmukha. So Lord Shiva, now you go. And actually it's described in the Bhagavatam, Lord Shiva went and offered prayers. He said, my Lord, why are you so angry? You're as angry as you are at the end of Kali Yuga. But this is just the start of Satya Yuga. Pre-scheduled anger. My Lord, please pacify yourself. And Narasingha was looking. My Lord, you're angry over this insect called Hiranyakashipu? He's like a fly. You already murdered him. You already killed him. It's interesting. Vaishnavism is so amazing. Here is a person, Prahlad, who worships his Supreme Lord, and the Supreme Lord comes and kills his own father, and Prahlad is ready to garland. So basically, for someone who's an outsider, if he comes in, it's a culture shock. You devotees end up garlanding the murderer of your father? Prahlad? Lord Shiva pacified Narasingha Dev by saying, you already killed Hiranyakashipu. And look at Prahlad, this five-year-old child is taking shelter. Bhakte bhyo bhakta vatsalaha. My Lord, please give him shelter. Narasingha Dev got pacified. So who pacified Narasingha Dev and made him very mercifully disposed towards Prahlad? It was Lord Shiva. In the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Sanatana Goswami explains, when Narada Muni went to Lord Shiva and said, you are the greatest devotee. Shiva said, what kind of a devotee am I? Devotees don't want mukti. They don't want liberation. And I am called Mukti Nath. I go around giving liberation. He told Narada Muni, remember the story of Vrikasura? The devotee who wanted to have the potency where he could touch anybody's head and his skull would crack to pieces. And then the Supreme Lord had to come and intervene as a Brahmana and trick Vrikasura by having him touch his own skull. Lord Shiva said, I have troubled the Lord so many times. I am the one who gives benedictions to Ravana. And then the Supreme Lord has to come as Ram to vanquish him. And then finally, how am I the greatest devotee? I appear as Adi Shankaracharya. And I start speaking Mayavada, Bhashya Shunila, Hoila Sarvanas. I start distracting people from the Vedas. In my humble opinion, Lord Shiva explained, the greatest devotee is Prahlad because of this connection in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. This is Satya Yuga. Now in Treta Yuga, Lord Shiva appears as Hanuman. And imagine sometimes the arati, the lamp goes around and we just kind of touch from the top and we get burnt. Sometimes we hold the lamp for quite some time and it's hot. So we put it on a plate and we take it around. That is heat. And here is Hanuman with his tail burning in fire and thinking, how can I use this burning tail in the service of my Lord? This is Lord Shiva. And then in Dwapar Yuga, Lord Shiva appears among the gopis as Gopeshwar Mahadev Ki. In Vrindavan, he appears in a gopi form. And it's interesting. He became a gopi and he had his face covered with a sari. And the gopis, headed by Lalita and Vishakha, they're all looking around and cutting jokes, and suddenly they see this new gopi in the Rasa Leela. And they look to this gopi. Who are you? What's your name? Who's your husband? Which village do you come from? Who are your parents? Now Lord Shiva has no answers to any of these questions.
Well, I am Gopeshwar Mahadev.
And Lalita Devi looked into the database of gopis in Vrindavan and said, data not found. Loading, please wait. And then Krishna came into the Rasa arena, neglected all the gopis and put his hand around the shoulder of this new gopi and walked around. Now Lalita and Vishakha, they're burning in transcendental anger. And they look at Krishna and they say, who is this gopi? Krishna says, this is not gopi. Pulled up the cloth which was covering the face. This is a gopi with three eyes. This is not gopi. This is Gopeshwar. Gopeshwar Mahadev Ki. So he's so dear to dance in the Rasa Leela. He is ready to become a gopi. And not just that. The gopis of Vrindavan were a little fried up with his presence. So Krishna said, no problem. You are outstanding. Therefore, please stand out. You're outstanding. So please stand out. I'll give you a drum and you please play the drum and keep the beat to the Rasa Leela. So Lord Shiva in Dwapar Yuga keeps the beat to the Rasa Leela. And not just that, he becomes a very naughty boy when he sees Krishna frolicking with his friends. Ittam satam brahma sukhanubhutya dasyam gatanam paradaivatena maya shritanam naradarakena sakham vijayru krita punya punja. Canto 10, chapter 12, text 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Bhagavatam. When the gopas, friends of Krishna, were dancing and playing the flute and the buffalo horns and the bugles and trying to dance like the peacock and sing like the cuckoo, Lord Shiva thought, this is exciting. Forget about Gopeshwar. I want to become a gopa. And he expands in a gopa form. And Krishna includes him. And not just that. It's interesting. When Krishna appeared and he lived in Nandagram, Lord Shiva came to take darshan. Mother Yashoda saw, here is a person with a garland of skulls around his neck, with dead man crematorium ashes all over his body, with a crescent moon on the top of his head, with Ganga, the currents of Ganga on his head, with dreadlocks, and to add more spice to the story, live snakes around his neck, with a trishul, a trident, and he's wearing a tiger skin. And sometimes he's so ecstatic, he's dancing naked. Mother Yashoda said, what is this? Who? And his associates are all ghosts. Because Lord Shiva has a very interesting preaching program. Very, very interesting. Vaishnavas have a lot of compassion. You see, His Holiness Chandramouli Maharaj wrote a book on the holy jail, about jail preaching in America, freedom within captivity. So this is the heart of a Vaishnava. They want to go to places where people are really crying. Chandramouli Maharaj writes in that book, the best thing about jail preaching, you don't have to make any advertisement. The audience is fixed. They're all people living in the jail. So Lord Shiva has a fantastic preaching program. He preaches in the crematorium to all the ghosts. So they love him. He's their bhakta leader. So Lord Shiva comes to Nandagram with all the ghosts. And here is Mother Yashoda. Shivers down her spine. Her little baby Gopal is in the cradle. And here's a big army of ghosts. Headed by Shiva. Boom, 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 boom. And all the Rakshasas are singing their own transcendental songs. Mother Yashoda said, no, out, no entrance here. As soon as she said that, baby Gopal started crying. Mother Yashoda came in. What happened? He's continuously crying. He is given different kinds of toys, different songs are sung, even the holy name is sung, but he wouldn't get pacified. Because there's Vaishnava Prad here. Bahu janma kari yadi shravana kirtan, tabuta na paye Krishna pade premadhan. Even if we chant for millions of lifetimes, if there's Vaishnava Prad, there's no fructification. So Mother Yashoda was thinking, what's wrong? Again Lord Shiva came for darshan, part two. Second time. Mother Yashoda kicked him out again. Again, Krishna started crying. And this happened 3-4 times. Mother Yashoda called in an astrologer and said, what's going wrong? The astrologer said, was there a Vaishnav who came here? Mother Yashoda said, no. Vaishnav, by no means. The astrologer said, was there a very different looking Vaishnava? Nimnaganam yatha ganga devanam achyuto yatha Vaishnavanam yatha shambhu purananam idam tatha. Just like among the rivers, Ganga is the topmost. Among the scriptures, Srimad Bhagavatam is the topmost. Similarly, among Vaishnavas, Lord Shiva is the topmost. They calculated. And Mother Yashoda said, well, there was a visitor, a traveling visitor, who came with his ghost town members. And he was very different. The astrologer said, he's the one. No, no, no. You're asking for a Vaishnav. He wasn't the Vaishnav. Mother Yashoda, no, no. He was the Vaishnav. Lord Shiva came back again. And as he was climbing up the hill, Krishna started beaming and smiling. Mother Yashoda said, oh, you wanted to take darshan? Please come. And as soon as he entered the room, Krishna started hitting his feet in the cradle with excitement as soon as he saw Lord Shiva. This is the love that Krishna has for Lord Shiva. And then Mother Yashoda said, I have committed Vaishnava Prad. What? How can I get forgiveness? What is my atonement? Lord Shiva said, I will live here as Nandishwar Mahadev. And daily as you perform Abhishek of Krishna, the Charanamrit and the Mahaprasadam plate should first come to me. Then I will forgive you. This is why, wherever the Supreme Lord is present, Lord Shiva is present there. In Vrindavan, he's called as Gopeshwar Mahadev. In Nandagram, he's called as Nandishwar Mahadev, Icheshwar Mahadev, Aseshwar Mahadev. At Govardhan, he's called as Chakleshwar Mahadev. At Kamvan, he's called as Kameshwar Mahadev. In Mathura, he's called as Bhuteshwar Mahadev. In Jagannath Puri, he's called as Bhubaneshwar Mahadev. In Navadvip, he's called as Harihara Kshetra. And in Nasik, he's called as Rameshwar Mahadev, Vankhandeshwar Mahadev. So many forms of Lord Shiva. This is in Dwapar Yuga. But this Lord Shiva, who is so dear to Krishna, in Kali Yuga appears as the one and only Advaita Acharya Prabhu Ki. So in creation, in potency, he is Vishnu, as described in the previous description. But in devotion, in compassion, in love, in unlimited mercy, he is Lord Shiva. So therefore, Prabhupada explains, quoting the Chaitanya Charitamrita, please kindly repeat, Mahavishnu Jagat Karta, Mayayaya Srujatyada, Tasya Avatara Evayam, Advaitacharya Ishwaraha, Advaitam Harinadvaitam, Acharyam Bhakti Shamsanat, Bhaktavataram Ishamtam, Advaitacharyam Ashraye. This is Adi Leela, Chaitanya Charitamrita, chapter 1, text 12 and 13. And what this means is, the first verse explains that he is none different from Vishnu, Mahavishnu, the creator of everything. But in devotion, in a heart filled with devotion, he is none different from Lord Shiva. So it's so beautiful. As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the combination of Radha and Krishna, where Krishna is the supreme creator, and Radharani cries in devotion for Krishna like this, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is none different from Radha and Krishna, where Krishna is the creator and Radharani is the devotee. So Mahaprabhu switches back and forth between being God and being a servant. Similarly, Advaita Acharya switches between being God, Mahavishnu, and being the servant, Sadashiva. So beautiful. So therefore, what is Vishnu Tattva? The day when Narasingha appeared is called Narasingha Chaturdashi. The day when Varahadeva appeared is called as Varahadvadashi. The day when Vamandeva appeared is called as Vamandvadashi. The day Ramachandra appeared is called as Ram Navami. But the day when all of these things are put together on one day, along with Mahashivaratri on the same day, that's called Advaita Saptami. So today's day is so power potent. It is not just the glorification of Lord Shiva, but it is also the glorification of Vishnu. Now very quickly, what is the lesson that Advaita Acharya teaches us? It is so interesting, when Advaita Acharya lost his parents and he was walking through different places, he came through a place called Mithila, which is the hometown of Mother Sita. And there he saw an old man crying and weeping. What was he crying and weeping? He cried, this place, this material world is like a hot blazing desert. And there's not a single drop of water for the living beings. Who was this poet? He was none other than Vidyapati, whom Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would listen to, whose poetry soothed Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's heart in the Gambhira. That Vidyapati was crying, and Advaita Acharya heard this. And that was the first seed of compassion in the heart of Advaita Acharya. He started pondering, oh, this message is so deep. It is so profound. But this thought had not completely fructified in Advaita Acharya. What happened next was, in Shantipur, many great sannyasis headed by Madhavendra Puri came to the house of Advaita Acharya. And there Advaita Acharya served Madhavendra Puri and took diksha from him. Prabhupada explains, Madhavendra Puri is the root of the tree of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the trunk of the tree. That trunk has two portions, Nityananda Prabhu and Advaita Acharya. And then later it has so many sub-branches, where one very strong, wonderful, powerful, unparalleled, priceless, unprecedented branch is His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. Srila Prabhupada has spread the glories of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu like none other. So therefore, the first seed of compassion in the heart of Advaita Acharya was sown by Vidyapati. But then it was fructifying by taking diksha from Madhavendra Puri. And later, when Advaita Acharya came to Navadvip, he saw in Navadvip, it was a pathetic state. Everyone was practicing devotion, but there was no pure devotion. They were using money to get their dogs married. That's how they were using money. Oh, this is my dog, this is your dog. Let's have a Vedic sacrifice to get your dogs married. Advaita Acharya was thinking, what is going on in Navadvip? People are studying Shastra to debate on Vyakarana, grammar, Nyaya, logic, Sankhya, analytical approach, Karma Mimamsa. People are debating on all these things, but they have forgotten the root of everything, which is Krishna. And then he called out. How did he call out? Tulasi dala matrena jalasya chulukenava vikrinite swatmanam bhaktibhyo bhaktavatsalaha. He took tulsi leaves with Ganga water and offered it to Shaligram Srila. It's so interesting that Ganga, whom Lord Shiva holds on his head, in Kali Yuga, Shiva as Advaita Acharya was holding Ganga in his palms. That Ganga, which originated in this world, washing the lotus feet of Vamandev, in Kali Yuga, originated in this world, washing the eyes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Advaita Acharya was offering Ganga water and tulsi leaves to Shaligram and invoked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this world. What does that teach us? It teaches us we may seek inspiration from others, like Advaita Acharya sought from Vidyapati, but it fructifies only when we take diksha from a great soul like Madhavendra Puri. And then when we practice the worship of tulsi and the deity, then the voice and the intensity can reach and shake the snake bed of Vishnu in Vaikuntha. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he came in this world, he would say, this Advaita, now he is acting. He is acting as a dramatic performer, as if he doesn't recognize me. But he's the one. I was peacefully sleeping on the snake bed of Ananta in Vaikuntha. But he was calling out so loud, my snake bed was shaking. And he forced me to come in this world. And when I am face to face, he's asking me, who are you? So this is Advaita Acharya. He's teaching us. Compassion for others begins by having compassion for oneself. So by taking Diksha from Madhavendra Puri and saving himself, he could save others. Isn't it interesting that Prabhupada went through all of these motions of Advaita Acharya? Advaita Acharya called in one Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in one tract of land called Navadvip. Srila Prabhupada got in so many Chaitanya Mahaprabhus in so many Navadvip cities of this world. So Advaita Acharya is great, but Prabhupada is greater. Well, maybe I'm a fanatic, but I love to be a Prabhupada fanatic. And in this way, Prabhupada, he got the seed of devotion right from childhood, from Gaur Mohan De, his father. He would hear the ringing bell. He would cross the road and go to Radha Govinda temple. He would build the Rathiyatra cart and inspire everyone to make kachoris. Prabhupada had a name called as Kachori Nandu, because he loved eating kachoris so much that he filled all his pockets with kachoris. And finally, this inspiration fructified when he met Madhavendra Puri-like guru in the form of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And later, taking shelter of Tulasi and Shaligram, which is Radha Damodar temple, he offered the Ganga water of his tears and called Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the Western world, which was never seen before. So on the day of Advaita Acharya's appearance day, we offer our heads in submission and gratitude at the lotus feet of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who is the incarnation, who is the manifestation and the empowered representative of Sripad Advaita Acharya. Srila Advaita Acharya ki! Srila Prabhupada ki! Gaur Premanande! Vansha Kalpatana. Salam time. Yeah? Any thoughts? Any questions? Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you very much for coming and giving us this enthusiastic lecture. Come back again many times.
What is that, Prabhu? Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much for coming and giving very enthusiastic lecture. Thank you. I hope you come back again many times every year.
I will.
So just the comment, the connection that you made, there's Krishna, Balaram, Mahavishnu, Advaita Acharya, and Srila Prabhupada. You know, and Lord Shiva, Prabhupada mentioned Lord Shiva is a Mahayana, one of the 12 Mahayans, along with Prahlad Maharaj and Lord Brahma. You know, Prabhupada says when he formed the GVC body in ISKCON in Geneva, he says, just like Lord Krishna has 12 GVCs, you know, the 12 Mahayans. So we also have in ISKCON our 12 GVCs, just the first GVC. Anyway, thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Any corrections? Any mistakes? Yes, please.
Thank you so much for this wonderful class. Lord Shiva in Kaliyuga seems to be a competitor of Lord Krishna. Can you explain how this is so?
So the question is, we see that in Kali Yuga, Lord Shiva appears as a competitor to Krishna. So how is that devotion? In the same spirit as Bhishma Dev is a competitor for Krishna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. The pure devotees can understand the heart of Krishna. Bhishma Dev understands, if I fight from Krishna's side, Krishna will be happy. But if I fight against Krishna, he will be more happy. And Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes in his purports to the Bhishma Stuti, Canto 1, Chapter 9, text 32 to 44, that when the arrows of Bhishma Dev touched the body of Krishna, they were like flower petals. And Vishnu Chakravarti gives a graphic example, which I wouldn't quote here, but he mentions they were very pleasing and Krishna loved it. So similarly, Lord Shiva is teaching us by his personal example that sometimes when the Supreme Lord wants to fight, he needs an equal competitor. So he is ready to take the opposite side. But then that doesn't mean his heart is in competition. There's a very famous story of how Lord Shiva, he takes sides with Kashi Raj, the king of Kashi. And then finally, when Krishna gets, and Kashi Raj is fighting against Krishna, and Shiva, he protects Kashi Raj and says, "You're my servant, I will protect you." Then when Krishna comes face to face with Lord Shiva, he says, "There's no one who hates me like you do. On one side you worship me, and on the other side you're giving protection to the person who's fighting me." Lord Shiva said, "My Lord, I know this is your plan. This is your inconceivable potency. You want me to fight against you just for your pleasure. But my Lord, if you think I'm proud, please humble me by making me the doorkeeper in all of your dhams." And therefore we see Lord Shiva is present as a doorkeeper, as Gopeshwar Mahadev, Nandishwar Mahadev, Kameshwar Mahadev, everywhere. So he is ready to become harder than a thunderbolt when Krishna desires, and ready to become softer than a lotus when Krishna desires. So it's not to do with his personal desire. "Oh Krishna, I'm your puppet. I do not know to dance. Make me dance, my Lord, make me dance." This has been this prayer of surrender. Srila Prabhupada also, and Lord Shiva also. So whatever Krishna desires. They are ready to become the president of America, or they are ready to do bhajan at Radha Damodar in Vrindavan. Whatever Krishna desires. Yes, Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna, Prabhupada. Thank you. You were mentioning that Lord Shiva is a Muktinath.
Muktinath.
And I remember reading as... I just want you to explain it. I remember reading in a purport, Srila Prabhupada is talking, he's quoting a small, like two lines of a verse. Probably you remember that from Bhagavad Gita. He says, Lord Shiva speaking, he says, "Mukti pradata sarvesham Vishnu revana samsaya." That's like something Srila Prabhupada quote. So Lord Shiva is saying, "I am Vishnu revana samsaya, mukti pradata." So Lord Vishnu is the one who's giving mukti. Now, here Lord Shiva is Muktinath. Can you say something about it?
Well, all the names of the demigods are ultimately the names of the Supreme Lord. Like for example, the word Ganesh is also the name of Krishna. Because the word Gana means groups and Isha means Lord. So Krishna is finally the Lord of all the groups of Vrindavan or Dwarka. The word Shiva means auspiciousness. Who is the supremely auspicious person? Sri Krishna. So all these names that Indra, Chandra, Agni, Vayu, Varuna, Brahma, Rudra, they're all names of Krishna, which Krishna lovingly grants to his devotees. So ultimately Krishna is Muktinath, he is Brajanath, he is Radhanath, and these are names given. So Lord Shiva is actually Muktinath in the sense that he is ready to liberate his servants from material distress. And Krishna is ready to liberate everyone by giving love of Godhead, ultimately.
So. Prabhu, I really appreciated your example of the...
I really appreciated your example of the dog and the lion. That was really nice. So I was thinking that so many of the devotees here have, they've come because they didn't really like what was going on in the material world. And so they are here. And so all the devotees here are like, they've taken up the position of being the lions. So we're all. So it's very nice to be that way rather than just complaining about the material world. We're doing something about it.
Yes.
Thank you for that.
I have heard senior Vaishnavas say the best thing about this material world is that we can do book distribution here. We can preach here. Because in Goloka Vrindavan, you speak about Bhagavatam and they will speak about Chaitanya Charitamrita. You give them a Bhagavad Gita and they will give you an act of devotion. But in this world, because of lack of devotion, it brings in so much service attitude. So who says this world is a place of misery? If we focus on birth, old age, disease and death, then it's filled with misery. But the solution that we have to that problem is so sweet. And if we focus on that, My Lord, whether it is the spiritual world or the material world, if I have your holy name and the association of devotees, I'm okay to be wherever you want. So it's a very beautiful place. Any final thoughts? Yes, Prabhuji. Please don't ask me a tough question. I don't have answers to them.
Thank you for your class, Prabhu. Could you clarify how you were saying that, like, Prabhupada was like an incarnation of Advaita Acharya?
Yeah, not literally, but if we see the principle that Advaita Acharya stands for, he stands for unlimited compassion and the desire of burning in his heart that this world is bereft of God consciousness. Navadvip is bereft of God consciousness, and therefore there is a need for Gauranga to descend. So that spirit burnt in the heart of Srila Prabhupada like no one else. Like our Advaita Acharya, he thought of Navadvip, which is anyway glorious. He didn't even think of the whole of India, but Prabhupada thought of the whole world. So Advaita Acharya is Advaita Acharya in small letters. Prabhupada is Advaita Acharya in capital letters. International Advaita Acharya title. And he got one Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You see, every major city in the world, Prabhupada got not just Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, Radha Krishna, Krishna Balaram, Jagannath Baldev Subhadra. Advaita Acharya got Gaura Leela, Krishna Leela, Ram Leela, but all inclusive in one. But Prabhupada got God Leela, Krishna Leela, Ram Leela, Jagannath Leela split up on the altar in every major city. In every home, in every heart. And Advaita Acharya did this when he was an old man. And Prabhupada did this when he was an old man. So I was just trying to draw parallels in a devotional way.
Thank you.
Yes, Prabhuji.
Following in your line of thought, he wanted to give deities of Gornitai. He told the devotees, like, give deity to Gornitai to everybody so they have it in their home. Like, and they can.
Yeah. The Gornitai dolls.
Yeah.
So beautiful. So wonderful. So therefore, on this day, we have two things as take home to meditate upon. One is that every situation in life is favorable. Everything is Advaita Acharya. Today we lose a finger. Oh, Advaita Acharya wants to bring in temporary problem. And if we turn out to him, we turn towards him, that brings in permanent auspiciousness. So that's the first thing. Not to overanalyze the bone, but to focus on the creator, which is Advaita. And the second thing to meditate upon today is gratitude. Prabhupada, just like if not for Advaita Acharya, we wouldn't have had Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Prabhupada, if not for you, if not for one dedicated disciple going across the ocean to fulfill the instruction of his spiritual master, Prabhupada, I wouldn't be here doing what I'm doing. Each one of us can meditate like that, if not for you. So thank you for being the representative of Advaita Acharya in my life. Srila Prabhupada ki! Gaura Prabhupada!